Radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on music, scripture, community, and world issues. We're being broadcast from the awesome Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. If you would like to see our show live, go to skidrowstudios.com and hit live video. And now, our show.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Denise Boyd.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. Our in-studio guest tonight is the beautiful, wonderful, marvelous Shante Marie Duncan. And co-host Denise Boyd. And like I said, and like she said. Okay, we have a show tonight. And I guess I do have some things I'm going to get off my chest today, but gosh, there's so many things going on in the world with ISIS and all the, I mean, it's just pure craziness going on. It's like, so I guess I'll talk about how the media is building up this ISIS thing. It's crazy how they're just promoting this thing and striking fear into every last single person walking around. It's like ISIS, we cannot control them. How do they get so much power? They're overthrowing the whole Middle East, and it's crazy how the media is hyping this thing up and then downplaying other things, and how they control us through the media. Anybody care to say anything about ISIS, or you just don't know, or just don't care, or what?
Well, I think what I've heard from the news and stuff, when you're talking about what's going on over in the Middle East, is kind of what's gone on over there over and over and over again.
You're saying just different people.
Just different people. ISIS is something that's kind of a new group with the same philosophy, and they're carrying it out the same way as hundreds of
No, but you're talking hundreds of years, but this is close to home. They're already inside of the United States. I saw a commercial the other day about the Navy keeping the enemy out. The enemy's already here. And I mean, it is a threat. I mean, but to have us all walking around petrified of what might happen, I mean, that's kind of been the game all along. 2000, what was the year 2000, when all the computers and mm-hmm. everything was gonna not exist the way anybody thought it would.
Thing.
Right. So it's just the media's just really hyping everything up. Yeah, the Middle East is the Middle East. It's always gonna be war. I think the Bible makes that clear. And
well, I think because we basically have open borders. Anybody and everybody could walk through if they wanted to.
Well, you're talking about borders, but ISIS is affecting people that are already here.
Well, I understand that, but a lot of them, like I says, they've come on into the United States, assimilated into the United States in their ways and stuff. They spread their propaganda inside here, but because of the freedoms that we have, you know, it in one aspect, you know, you're glad you live in a country that has those freedoms. And another aspect, it makes it very easy for groups like ISIS or anybody else to come into a country like this. You know, we don't control, you know, phone calls. We don't control the internet. We don't control.
Well, they're trying to go step in those, in that direction. But we have whistleblowers and people who are saying that takes away from our freedoms and our rights. So,
well, I think it's a give and take. You can't have everything. I mean,
some people want everything,
well,
that's
not reality.
I know, but that's what Americans are used to. Americans are used to everything.
But I said, right now it's so easy because it's the internet's not controlled. Anybody can do anything they want pretty much on the internet. The your phones. They talk about, oh well, they can wiretap and do this and that, but so much of it is, you know, like covert type of things that they just can't, you know, they can't, control
covert,
everything.
Covert. That's, I like that. That covert missions and snipers.
Well, you know, but I mean, it's like people don't want to admit, but there's a lot of homegrown things going
homegrown
on now.
Homegrown weed? We're not talking.
No, I'm talking about homegrown terrorism, you know.
And I mean,
it's kind of hard sometimes to distinguish between what is a homegrown terrorist and what is some of the gangs that are going on out there. I mean, gangs do killings, you know, drive-by shootings are unnecessary. Homegrown terrorists just want to kill a whole lot more with one.
Well, it's very obvious that there are people out there that are racist and want to kill. And then there's just people out there that just want to kill. So on that note, I want to talk where you're talking about being in a free nation and having liberties that a lot of places don't have. On that note, I want to take it on over to Shantae and talk about freedom and freedom being denied and something that happened in Texas.
Yeah, so this occurred 2 years ago, and it was an African-American active duty soldier by the name of James Brown, and he checked himself into a county jail in El Paso, Texas, to finish serving a sentence that he was given because of a DUI. But I read that he already did the 3 days and he had to do two more, so he checked himself in that weekend.
It would be turn himself in because it wasn't like a rehab. It's like he turned himself into this.
He turned himself in. And when he got there, they were saying that he was supposed to be in there for about 7 days, but he was telling them that he had to check out to, report back on Monday. And they were,
report back to Army?
Whatever official. He just had to check back in with them that day, mm-hmm. so I guess he couldn't be in there for that long. Mm-hmm. And the article I read was by Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! .org, and she held an interview with his mother, and his mom was saying that he called her and was telling her what's going on and that he had to get out of there. But apparently they were questioning him and he didn't want to speak with them. And that's when they called in like a SWAT team to take him out, and that they were.
Now they showed, I saw the video, and that it just captivated me, and it really made me angry. It really broke my heart. Mm-hmm. Now they showed him just going crazy in his cell.
Yeah, well, he said he had post-traumatic stress disorder, but from what his mom was saying, that they should have called in a person that was with the military or a person that's able to handle mental illness. But they had civilians trying to
deal with someone that's
from the military. And
they had, was it 4 or 5 heavily, I guess, armored or
dressed. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There was a SWAT team with like all that gear
the helmets,
on that were carrying him out of there. And then
they went in there first.
Yeah.
And they cuffed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
put a mask on him, and he was saying he can't breathe like a lot of times.
Well, he was saying he couldn't breathe in there when they, I guess, attacked him or wrestled him down to put the cuffs on him.
Yeah, well, there's an account by an anonymous, prisoner that was in there too. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that the guy was saying he didn't do anything and that he's not going to speak. And when he said that he wasn't going to speak with them, that's when they got aggravated and like swarmed on top of him. And I guess he was unconscious and they were still like beating him and doing a bunch of stuff. But they were saying that his death was because of a pre-existing medical condition, like sickle cell. And they were, his family was arguing that that it wasn't that, or they aggravated that, or they did things that they didn't have to do.
That he did not really, I mean, his sickle cell is not active, but it's just a condition.
Mm-hmm. And then it took like 2 years for them to even get the video. It's because the medical examiner said that he ruled it sickle cell, and that he based that decision off of a video. And that's when his family were asking about it, because they didn't even notify them that it was on video. And it took them 2 years to even over 2 years.
And
to
they
even get that.
Was it a news organization that got it for them? They couldn't even get it, but a news.
I think so. It was like a local news station
that got
out
it
there. They were trying to get it for a long time too.
Yeah, for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
I think there's so many people that still don't don't recognize post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah, but he notified him that he was dealing with that.
I don't think people know how to deal with it.
Denise, I do not even think that had anything to do with it. I think that he was a black man.
Well, his mom was saying she didn't think it was a race issue. For some reason, well, she didn't. But his woman is white.
I'm talking about his mom. Yeah, I know, but his wife is white.
Yeah, but I'm saying she was saying that she thought it was because it's just police abusing their power or
right. That's what that I was trying to say, but you didn't let me finish, is that people don't even recognize it, nor are they trained. So when you have somebody that's saying, I have this, they're still going after with their blinders on in a way of how they handle everybody or every black person or whatever. First off, he had on top of that, you know, I mean, he's like you said, he was going crazy in his cell and stuff because
he was by himself in there and they went in there.
What I'm saying is he's got mental issues and you're going in there, you know, and
they subdued him. They cuffed his hands behind his back and his feet.
But they said they didn't call the ambulance or anything when he was lying there.
When you have a condition also on top of that, it's worse. It's bad enough what you did. But when you have somebody with PTSD. Yeah. Most of the time, what it is they can't be confined. It makes things even worse than what it already was, because like I'm saying, what they did was wrong for somebody that may be healthy or whatever. But he had a condition that even made it worse for doing something like that.
So basically, what I'm getting from you is because he was cuffed. His hands were behind his back cuffed, and his feet were cuffed. That made his condition worse. So,
no, what I'm saying is
they didn't call an ambulance.
They didn't do anything.
They didn't give him a drink of water when he asked for water, mm-mm. And that they did not take the thing from around his mouth when he said he couldn't breathe.
He was kind of like,
and that's because there are civilians that can't deal with.
He was panicking though.
He's having a panic attack was because of his condition, which was even worse than for what they did. And that's what I'm saying. You don't do certain things to people, but when they have like a panic attack, mm-hmm. it even makes it worse yet. And that's what he was having. And it's like they didn't recognize, first off, what they were doing was putting that person into a condition that mm-hmm. was even worse yet. They have no training on even how to do
so
things.
So when he's sitting there and they showed a picture of him, with his hands behind his back, his eyes are like this, not even blinking, and he's going like this. And they don't call an ambulance.
Well, that's just
ignorant. Because they're civilians saying, not trained.
But way before it even got to that point is what I'm trying to say. When the guy said he had post-traumatic stress syndrome, right then and there, anybody of any kind of minute understanding and stuff.
It's not even that.
The anonymous prisoner, I'm not going to read all of what he said, but when he's accounting on what James Brown was doing, he said, the guy said, I didn't do nothing. You know what? I'm staying back here. I'm keeping my mouth shut. And he said, they took him out and they took him into a little room in front of us. They took him back there, roughed him up, skipping. And they said, they gave him a shot and he collapsed. I guess he didn't react good to it. And when he collapsed, that's when they jumped on him, beat him. He was unconscious, so there was really no need for them to jump on him the way they did. He was already unconscious, and yeah, so if elbow was on his neck and all this other stuff, but he was already out of it, whatever it was.
Why would you even give somebody a shot?
They gave him two shots as well.
I mean, the prisoner was saying he didn't think they could, but apparently there's like laws where they can do stuff like that. I don't know, they'll probably be able to justify
it. Well, my point is, from what I saw in the video, it broke my heart that those men stood around and just watched that man die. Mm-hmm. They did not call an ambulance. They didn't call anybody that could help that man. And I don't think that was just abusing their power. I think it's straight out racism. I think they knew that he had a white woman, and they seen him as a good looking black man with potential.
Well, I don't even think it.
You know, I think that because it's why else would somebody do that?
Because I think people doesn't even have anything to do with he had a white woman. He's just a black man out there. I think for a lot of these other killings and stuff that are going on and everything else, the abuse has nothing, you know, I think that was just one more chip on the reason. But it could have been another black person in there that they're attacking because they're racist. It doesn't have anything to do necessarily with whether he has a white woman or not. They're just flat out racist. They're going to attack black people.
It makes it worse.
Well, yeah, it makes it worse. But I think the attitude they had was that attitude, regardless of what nationality his woman was. They already were racist.
They're supposed to be like prosecuted, I think, in October.
Men?
Yeah.
Well, I want to try to follow up on it because those men, also the men that shot the little, that shot the retarded man in Texas, I want to follow up on that. I want to follow up and see what's happening to these police that are
abusing their power.
Well, they're murdering people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we have a skit coming out probably, I don't know if it's next week, probably the week after. And I believe it's Lady Justice that's murdering all these people. I mean, she's been murdering people for years. It's Lady Justice that are letting these people off. And that's why they believe they can murder, is because Lady Justice is blindfolded to what's going on in this world or going on, I guess, in the world. But she's a symbol, a United States symbol, right? I mean, she's a symbol of justice or equality, the scales, and those scales have been tipped for a very, very, very long time. There are a lot of dead bodies, all colors. It just seems like black people I believe, not knowing the facts, I believe if you look at the numbers in America since America existed, that black people are the majority. I bet you there's millions since America existed, that have been murdered, and the Blind Lady of Justice has not done anything about it, but has let those people off, and that's why.
Yeah, because it took like the family trying to bring it to court and anything for it to like even be spoken about. Because when it happened, she was saying that nothing happened to the officers at all.
I know. Can you imagine how that would make you feel? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that make you feel if you knew, say, that man had a brother or a father? Wouldn't that make you want to murder somebody?
Because he has two kids that he's leaving behind, like a 12-year-old stepson and a 5-year-old daughter.
I mean, just the way the justice system plays their games and manipulates.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder why people get violent. I mean, you have the people that are looting and doing stupid stuff like that, but then you have people that are just genuinely angry, and then they kind of just paint this image that they're just animals, or you know what I mean? But they don't see, like, what I guess what you're saying, how many people have been affected, whether that's their, you know, their family member or their brother or people that they know that are being killed like that.
You kill them, and then you cover it up. You hide, and you lie, and you do all these things.
I think they point the finger in the wrong direction. Someone was saying, like, with Baltimore, like I said, aside from the looting, that was wrong, but just with the protests and people getting angry and then the cops are getting, you know, kind of afraid or aggravated too, it's like they focus more on that issue than the fact that there's, you know, people getting let off of killing black people. It's more like the black people's reaction to it that the media kind of focuses on, when there's positive things being done too. Like when we both saw like the gang members standing in front of the cops to prevent them from getting hurt in the protest, they don't show that kind of thing, and they kind of focus the attention on something else.
The media, so many times, you know, their job is to report on troubles on news. Sometimes I think they stir up things just so they have a job to keep going and reporting on it.
Yeah, well, they blow things out of proportion just.
Yeah, some things they do. Okay, so we're going to take it from that, which I am very angry about that, seeing that video, and my heart goes out to that family. And, I mean, the things that I'm thinking and feeling in my heart, I don't even think I can.
I'm just saying they have to fight so hard just to try and get justice. It seems like you wouldn't have to fight that hard for something that's obviously
wrong. Well, you said like it was 2 years before they even learned about a video that should have been disclosed to the family right from the very beginning.
Yeah, so they weren't told anything about it.
Public knowledge. Yeah. What I was reading something about this thing that happened just in Chicago, a guy on PCP, allegedly on PCP, lunging at a cop and being shot 16 times or something like that. I didn't have a lot of time to research.
Is that through the windshield?
No, that was the rapper, right?
I don't know, but there was one where the cop was shooting at him like multiple times through the windshield.
Yeah, I don't know, but this cop said that he had a knife and lunged at him, and I'm not sure if it was a single police officer shooting this individual or a group of them. So, I mean, I can't really comment on it, but there are people that need to be shot. There are people that need to be, they need to have their heads blown off because they are just that bad and they're that evil and they deserve it. But there are people that like this man in Texas, this officer, or not officer, this
he was active duty soldier served 2 terms in Iraq.
That it's going over there risking his life.
Yeah,
so
the host was saying the irony that he's dying on U.S. soil when he fought there twice.
For our freedom.
Was treated that way by.
And I mean, this has been going on for a very, very long time.
It's been going on for
since the birth of America, it's been going on. And it doesn't look like there's any end in sight, in my opinion. And I guess that's why I'm angry. I am really angry about this, you know, and something, we've got to do something that can stop it. And I don't believe it's going to stop till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I think that it's just going to worsen and total chaos is going to break
loose. Well, you're saying something about, like, black people getting riled up and then that being another excuse to kill, like them getting riled up over issues like this and reacting, I guess, in the wrong way. Because they're angry, and then it's another reason
to shoot them and kill them. Because they're not, black people, in my opinion, are not prepared for war. And white people, the Tea Party, and that's all they do is they're looking for something to kill. Whether it be an animal or.
I don't even think it's so much the Tea Party as it is.
They have that mentality in my opinion.
But the Tea Party is an elite group of rich people that kind of do their thing. More of the
hillbillies.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, at work, I hear so many of the guys talking about, you know, we bought a new gun today, and I got this much ammo stored up, and this and that. I'm like, what are you doing with that? Well, you know, in case you know, it's like we need to go against the government or protect our, you know, our houses and stuff. I mean, it's like they're talking about almost like the Wild West days.
Well, I think I think that those days might not be too far from us.
But I think just because I see these people and stuff, some of them with the attitude that they have and the way they carry themselves, that's some of the problems, you know. I mean, it's really easy to get a gun and to get as much, there's not even a limit on the ammo. You just,
A lot of people like I know, they make their own ammo.
Well, yeah, you know, they can do that and stuff. But I mean, if you don't have a bad background, you know, I mean, as far as getting in trouble with the law, you can buy as many guns as you want, you know, and store them on up.
Well, anyway, we're going to shift gears into the Baltimore thing that really ticked me off. I wanted to get it off my chest, but Denise wouldn't let me. I had to wait till now, and now she's going to enlighten us a little bit about this Baltimore thing.
What Willis is talking about is that the president of the police union of, you know, for the 6 officers that was arrested and under indictment for the killing of, and I can't remember his first name, but his last name's Gray, you know, he's trying to, in my opinion, trying to make the police department say, okay, you know, you guys just need to back down, and just don't do anything, just kind of lay low type of thing. He put out a memo that was basically nobody was really buying off on that said that the criminals are taking advantage of the situation since the unrest. Criminals feel they're empowered now. There's no respect. Police are under siege in every quarter. They were afraid of going to jail for doing their jobs properly than getting shot on duty, which basically saying that, you know, if I do my job the right way, I'm at more chance of being indicted than going out there and somebody shooting me.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. So basically what this union, this police union president guy is saying, that the six officers that cuffed this man and put him in a van and rolled him around like he was on the Colossus at...
Yeah, it's a nickel ride. Is what
yeah, the nickel ride. He's basically saying that was...
an officer doing his job.
That was procedure, is what he's saying. Yeah. So other officers that use procedure are now afraid because if they use procedure or what's another word I'm looking for? Handbook?
Protocol.
Protocol, text. If they use that, and that's what this is, then they're going to go to jail. So is that what he's saying?
Well, that's what I got out of what he's saying. That's what I got out of, basically it says, Baltimore Police Union, cops are afraid of going to jail than getting shot. So, you know, going
and
to jail
for
means...
for doing their job
right.
Correct.
So what basically this has by this memo that's been put out or a tweet that was put out was saying that for routine type of when they're patrolling and stuff, anything that looks a little suspicious, they're just letting it go. They're not going to go and investigate it at all because they're afraid of getting into a confrontation.
And then getting indicted.
And then getting indicted. Mm-hmm. That's not what these cops were indicted for. Not with all the
injuries.
Not with all of the book, the way it was thrown at them, for the charges that were brought against them. You know, then the union guy tries to basically say that the attorney general that went and, you know,
went after him.
She was being overzealous and just trying to make a name for herself and trying to whatever, you know. So he's still trying to dismiss what those cops done.
And see, this is the whole thing we're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of them are against her for doing what she's done.
I know, but the whole thing we're talking about is that these police and people keep saying, oh, there's a lot of good cops and, oh, there's just a few bad cops out there and this whole thing and all the cops are not bad. But what kind of picture is this painting?
Mm-hmm.
You have a whole police department that are saying, well, we threw this guy in a van and we gave him that nickel ride thing and he died. Oh, well. So now we don't want to do our jobs because if we give another guy a nickel ride, some more of us might go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, you know, basically we've forgotten how to do our jobs correctly.
Well,
and we don't know what we're doing, so we don't want to take a chance.
But to me, if you're more afraid of doing your job correctly than you are getting shot out there because you might go to jail, then you're in the wrong profession. Because you're in a profession that you never know from moment to moment what's going to be around that corner.
Well, the thing is, they haven't been doing their jobs correctly.
That's the point. That's exactly the point.
Out of fear for doing the same thing and getting in trouble like the other guys doing, they're just not doing anything at all because that's how they've been functioning.
But that is not doing their job either.
To where they think that's the right way to do it.
Do we have any stats on the crime that went up over the holiday?
The crime has gone up from the beginning of the year. There's been 32 more homicides as of right now in Baltimore than what there was this time last year. That's how much just in that same time span of time through there, majority of those are after what had gone on, since the Gray's funeral and stuff out through there. And pretty much what has happened, what I saw in the news is people are calling and saying, you know, there's a burglary or there's a robbery going on. The cops are just saying, oh, well, you know, if we get over there, when we do.
So it's kind of like a sick out. The union's kind of staging like a sick out cops. Yeah.
They call it the blue flu. We've heard it called that before. Mm-hmm.
That if you got a problem, we can't help you until you release our six guys there that are in custody or you let them go.
Is it that far though? Or is that where they're taking it? Like they're not going to do their jobs unless those guys aren't?
That's how I'm getting it. Mm. Listening to this guy talk, he's talking like these guys didn't do anything.
Yeah.
These guys are, you know.
He wanted to have their indictments overruled. Mm. He even pushed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the lady went, you know, Mosby is what the attorney general's, you know, name is and stuff. She basically is saying no. And, you know, and the courts did stand up. They didn't overturn it and stuff. She also says, we're not going to fight this, you know, because he's going to the media and stuff. She says, no, we're not going to do this, you know, through the media or anything else. I'm not going to get up there and go nose to nose with you and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes I kind of worry something might happen to her, just you know? How people are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know,
she put down that. She says, I refuse to litigate this case through the media to us, but we want to ensure that we are able to conduct a fair and impartial process for all parties involved. We're not going to fight this thing over TV and stuff, because that's what the union person wants them to do.
I mean, like, God forbid it, you know, that would happen. I'm just saying how people can take
Batman,
someone
Gotham
that's
City.
Standing for something that is
Gotham
right
City.
Trying to do her to job
black
properly.
And, you know, that kind of thing. It just kind of seems like it would make
okay,
it.
And see, that's what I'm saying. It made me sick to my stomach, him sitting there like, feel sorry for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these cops are hardworking cops, and you know, they're indicted now because they were just trying to do their jobs. And it's like, that's what this whole justice thing, in my opinion. You got some corny white dude up there looking all proper and feeling, and you got all the, you know, oh gosh, there's a judge that, you know, these, where there's a way we can get them off, you know, and let's give this thing a little time, and the people are not going to be so angry.
They said, what, overzealous?
Overzealous.
Yeah. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah. She was being overzealous.
Should be overzealous, but, because it's enough to make you sick to your stomach.
Well,
the people that, it's like the young man in Texas that the cops shot. He had a screwdriver. He was retarded. He had.
Well, and his mother said that he was, he had mental illness and retarded.
She called before and told them what the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
And she trusted those cops. That was her biggest mistake. She trusted them. She walked off like everything was fine. The police are here. And before
he just had a screwdriver?
He had a screwdriver, but
and they said he lunged
had a screw loose.
Yeah.
So I guess if you have a screw loose,
I think he wasn't taking
a screwdriver
his meds.
Is probably the perfect thing to have.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that that was the only way they can handle it. I mean,
no,
like, you can't tase
him. In my opinion,
or
they walked up there all arrogant and everything else. This guy's got a problem. Give him some space. Give him some room.
Well, if anything else, you already know that, you know, the lady when she called said he wasn't armed or anything like that. That he wasn't taking his meds and that and stuff.
She needed to take him to the doctor.
She just needed to get him subdued and stuff. He was out of control. So why don't you walk up there with your taser out, ready to tase the guy to try to do something? You don't
have like one cop on the opposite side.
I think
if
you don't approach him with your chest all out, like, you know, I'm the cop, I'm the officer, and I'm big and bad, I'm white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's two white guys, and they're that's how they approach him. Who's this? Put it down. You know, they're talking to him like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give the man a little room. You know he's got mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you if they had to just gave him a little space, back down off of their ego trips and stuff and that, it never would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what's going on.
Well, that's what I said. They walked with the attitude of, you know, do what I say to do or I'm going to shoot you.
And
you know, the gun should have never even been an issue then, because he was, I mean, if you're a police and you, the guy just has a screwdriver and there's two of you and one of him and you guys can't get him, you know, under control, then you're in the wrong job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's crazy, and I don't think we can get a handle on it, because it's just, you know, there's too many people out there. I think it's just, you know, the justice system, the people
I don't
that are,
think people can just like stand by and do nothing, though.
I don't think that. I think that it's too far gone in the justice system that I don't think they can fix it. There's too many people that are racist. There's too many judges that way, too many policemen that way. I think that like you say, people are trying to, and like this black DA, she's, you know, putting her foot down and overzealous and mad, and that's wrong. It's wrong, and it's always going to be wrong for them to stand up to the police or the justice system like that and try to do the right thing.
But I think with nowadays, with so many people that can take cell phone videos and stuff, a lot of this stuff that went on just even 20 years ago.
Yeah, but they're, like, prosecuting it, like, in trouble for taking video.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're getting in trouble for it, but it's coming out into the public.
It's coming into the public, but it's not a law. I mean, it's a law that you can do that.
I know. I'm saying I never understood why they would get in trouble for it.
Well, because you can get in trouble for anything
if the cops
want.
And they say, like, oh, they're trying to work out the body cam situation. But in terms of, like, Sergeant James Brown, like, how long would it take for them to even release it?
This lady, the pregnant lady that was 8 months pregnant in Barstow that got wrestled to the ground over an altercation with another lady after dropping her, I think, a second grade daughter.
Yeah, second grade daughter.
Off. And the lady that, and I don't know, I hope, you know, I picked my granddaughter up from school, and it's crazy how people are so stupid and how they drive and what they do. I just park as far away as I can and I walk because people are idiots. They're just idiots. So I don't know what happened, but the lady said that they were mad at each other. She's saying that the black lady came up and pounded on her window, I guess yelling at her. Mm. Okay, she called the police. The police came. She showed the police the window, and the police said, I'm sorry, ma'am, there's no damage or anything here. There's not been a crime committed that I can arrest or do
someone
anything.
Someone acting
about.
Stupid isn't an arrestable crime, basically.
Right. He said that out of his own mouth, and like you were saying, the body cam or the dash cam, whatever, did not come out. It came out miraculously after they tried to pressure her into admitting to some sort of guilt, plea bargaining.
Yeah.
And basically that's what you're saying. It's even with the body cams, they take and manipulate and hold and work their manipulation and their games trying to make you commit or confess to something, being like, oh, you know, you could get 30 years for this unless you just admit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes it makes it harder for you to sue them. So basically what happened here is I also saw the video. The cop or the police officer approached the white lady and got the story, and then he went over to talk to the black lady and ask her for her name, and she didn't feel
her ID.
Her ID, and she didn't feel she had to give it. And what I found out is it's not against the law to not give your name or your ID.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
Okay. If you're not being charged with something, you do not have to give your name or your ID over.
And what he did basically is he says, you got 2 minutes to comply. And basically he gave her 20 seconds. The next thing you know, he's trying to cuff her and put her in the squad car. And he wrestles her 8 month pregnant woman to the ground and humiliates her in front of everybody, puts her in the police car and arrests her. And watching that video, this is the thing that, and it, I guess it ticks me off is because it's been happening to me. It doesn't happen to me so much more now, but when I was younger, these things would happen. It'd be like you beat up a white boy for calling you a nigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the police get there and say, why did you beat this man up, nigger?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So the attitude.
Well, I just found it. I was just curious as to why he didn't ask the same information.
Well, according to, I mean, what I saw on the body cam, he didn't.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just didn't understand that.
Well, it's not. It's basically.
Because then if she says no, then it's like an excuse for him to do something. Or it just seems like he would ask both people for the same information.
Well, he
like,
could
why did he
ask
specifically
her.
Need her information
I think
and not
I don't even think he asked her what happened.
But what right. they arrested her for here was it was for the obstruction law. It was because she refused because you don't have to. They arrested her for like obstructing justice, but there wasn't any justice. So basically, that's how they ended up getting fought and getting thrown out of what it was. And they say there's another attorney general for, it's a state attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union Foundation of Southern California, Adriana Wong, basically says officers in California should not be using the obstruction law, Penal Code 148, to arrest anyone for failing to provide ID. Mm-hmm. So basically they said, yeah, okay, we can't arrest you for not telling me your name and ID, so now we're going to go under obstruction. And they're saying that's wrong for doing it, and that's what she had to fight in court, was that I wasn't obstructing anything because I wasn't charged with anything.
There was not a crime.
Yeah, there wasn't a crime.
That came out of his own mouth, that there was no crime committed here. Mm-hmm. And see, these are the kind of things that you wonder, that's why a police officer shoots an unarmed man, because something triggers in him for whatever reason. You know what? I think it's the Dred Scott law, Dred Scott case, and that's the 3/5, that a black man is only 3/5 human, therefore he is not all human. Mm-hmm. He is animal.
But you said less than an animal.
Well, not an animal, less human, less than human.
Less than mm-hmm. human.
So therefore, they have a right.
It's okay, just like I'm shooting a dog.
Well, they have a right to be slaves or property. Mm-hmm. And that the Dred Scott case
basically said that black people were property. They weren't human. They were property. And you treat property
any way you want to.
What got to me also in here that I thought had absolutely nothing to do with this case, that, and this is what she's looking at possibly suing, was she wasn't able to go to her daughter's school until the charges were all dropped. Going to her daughter's school had absolutely nothing to do with what the two women got into an altercation. It could have been that they got into it at Walmart. You're going to say you're banned from going into Walmart's parking lot now because you got into, her daughter's school.
Mm-hmm. I think, I've kind of been through this and I've seen people go through it, is they make things so tough and humiliating for you. And that white lady that she had the altercation with is like, and the black lady is like, her head's hung down and she's in shame. And then they're trying to say, you know what? We can make this all go away if you just make a deal with us and admit to some sort of guilt so you can't sue us, or mm-hmm. we don't look like idiots.
Yeah, and so it doesn't get brought into the media.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Attention.
Right. So this is the game that's been being played for such a long time. I don't think there's any slowing down. I think, you know, with all the cameras and these things are going on, it's just going to be, you know, it's flooding everything now. But what's really being done to change it?
The way that the police there tried to justify what they did was they said that Barso is a racially diverse community, as said our police department, and we are here to serve and protect our residents. Mm-hmm. So therefore, because we're a racially diversified, this is not a racial incident. You know, it sounds like
it clear how diverse they
are. Yeah, you know, and then the lady comes back and, you know, says that, you know, Barstow's such a small town. You know, she says, I used to enjoy living here. Now I'm afraid to be around here. I mean, you know, and we've all been to Barstow. Barstow, there's not a whole lot in Barstow, the train station.
On the way to Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and there's not.
And it's a delight every time.
I mean,
even though it's
growing around there, it's not a very big community. Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, it's not like there's only one black person, you know, living in there
Well, they interviewed this one black lady, and she said that she was on trial in court, and she said there's justice in their court, in the rooms. But she said, yeah, just us.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
But, you know,
that's an old joke, but I get a kick out of it every time.
But, you know, I mean, I was to the, you know, that's to Ebony's dad's church is there. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a black church that's down through there, you know, and the community, they're just a small rural community, you know, type of thing. And there's a lot of different type of people.
So there's no racist policemen.
Oh, I didn't say there wasn't any racist policemen.
I know, but I'm just saying
That's what they're saying, you know, we're such a, you know, yeah, you're a diverse community because you've got you know, blacks and whites living there. But that has absolutely nothing to do with the attitude and the mind frame of your police department that's going on out there. You know, and like I said, I still think because people now can pull their cell phones out, what went on 20 years ago when, you know, it was all just the cop's word against your word. So when you went to court, it was the cop's word against your word. Now they're saying, here's a dash cam photo that 2 years later shows up. But, oh, look, maybe, you know, 4 months after the thing, two weeks afterwards, here's some, you know, here's five different cell phone videos from every angle. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys try to cover up and, you know, with everything that's going on. But now, as soon as something happens, everybody's flipping their phones out, taking pictures.
So the blindfold is basically being ripped off of Lady Justice.
Yeah, it is.
She's going to have to look at.
She's going to have to start looking at things.
More people are being aware.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're not shutting up like they used to because they were scared like this lady was. And, you know,
like a lot of, thank God, a lot of young people, I think, are becoming more passionate about it. And I think channeling it in a positive way with protests and, like Niece was saying, using technology and social media as a way to kind of share what's going on so more people are in the know of what injustice is happening.
That website I asked you to get for me on a meeting, it was on KPFK 90.7.
Yeah,
Black Lives Matter. There was, an incident in Pasadena that I'm not sure if it was her son or something happened. And they were threatening this lady. And they actually went after her and arrested her and took her in because she was going to protest or she was doing something that was going against the grain. And they actually went out and just bullied her and threatened her and made her life miserable because she was standing up for something. And these are the kinds of things that I guess not trying to, you know, take a hard right turn, but the police departments are ordering or trying to order, army equipment, like where was it? Was it Massachusetts or was it Baltimore that had the mine cruisers or the mine tanks or, you know, they
had
the
Humvees that were coming in.
Was it Ferguson or Baltimore?
No, it was Ferguson. It was Ferguson. They were trying to get the Humvees and
they had them.
And then John Oliver was like showing how there's like these small states that request stuff like that as if that kind of stuff is required for such a
You got to look at the big picture, and these same people that are persecuting everybody are in the government, but these same people are going to be when the Antichrist comes and all that whole tribulation thing is running down. These are going to be the same people that are persecuting the people that are left behind on earth.
Well, I think also, and I don't know if you were raised the same way, but I know that's not exactly how we told our kids and grandkids. You know, if you were in need, if something was going on, you found a police officer or a fireman, and that's who you went to for help. Nowadays, you know, I don't tell them, go, you know, if there's something going on, go try to get to the police, because the police can be just as corrupt of what you're running away from and stuff. And you don't know, it may be worse for what's going on than you standing up there and just, you know. Well,
that reminds me of when my mom died and somebody had, well, it was actually my nephew was breaking into the house and stealing stuff. And what had happened was, how do you say that, Shantae? What had happened? is I called the police to, I guess, basically witness me going in and checking the house out and making sure that no one was in there because it, my mom had just died. So basically when I called the police and they got there, they basically accused me of making something up or being in the wrong. There was like five policemen out there and the one was badgering me saying, you just want to go in there and do something yourself, or you just want us to go in there and check it out so you have an excuse to do something. Anyway, long story short, is these guys were, if I was a Christian man, or if I didn't have an understanding of these things, you know.
Or if you just got angry enough.
I mean, if I got angry, but I knew enough. Growing up
yeah.
not
yeah.
to get angry. If I was the wrong, if I didn't have the knowledge I had growing up, then they would have pushed the wrong buttons and I could have been died or beaten up really badly because they were not there for me.
And you were the one that called them because of...
Yeah, because if someone was in that house and I had to fight them or something happened, they would take me and they would throw me under the jail. Mm-hmm. And that's what they would do.
Yeah, it was like when I was telling you I went to the art exhibit that was about justice and different things. There was a piece called The Talk, and it was showing how parents have to have like a new talk with their kids.
Exactly.
Usually it's like a sex talk kind of thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now it's like how to handle yourself with a police officer. And one of the guys, I think he writes for like New York Post or one of those big articles, was saying how his son was stopped because he looked like another black student that or black person that they were looking for, held at gunpoint and all that. And he was saying if he didn't talk to his son about how to handle himself, that he would be dead. And he said it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a student at Yale or if you're mm-hmm. just, you know, an everyday hardworking person. It's like you're treated the same way. You can get, you know, all the education that you can and try to mm-hmm. be making the right decisions, and you're still, you know, treated like that.
Well, I don't think that talk thing, I think that's a very good idea. And it's not like we're trying to be racist.
No, I'm just saying yeah. that's like a thing we have to do now.
It's something we have to do, and it's a good thing that we mm-hmm. should do. And it should be that we don't have to
that's
talk.
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole
be,
deal.
We it's should
just,
be
it's just what we have
them,
to do now.
Yeah.
We have especially now.
Bringing them up the right way and learning. But like you're saying, it doesn't make any difference anymore. Because there's a lot of crooked cops out there. There's a lot of racist cops. There's a lot of bad things going on. But I still feel comfortable when the police are around. Mm-hmm. I can't say, you know, in my adult life that, and I thank God for it, that the police have treated me badly. And for whatever reason, I try to respect them. I try to put the hands up and do all kinds of stuff, let them know everything I'm doing. In some cases, you still get shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God that I haven't.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I don't want to make it sound like that every police out there, every policeman out there is wrong. But I think they do have that, and it's been talked about, the good old boy type thing, that they
that
just
mentality.
Shut that mentality. And it may be out of fear on their part that if I go against one of the other officers, then I'm going to be retaliated against at work. And they may be more afraid of each other than they are afraid of what they're going out and fighting
every
day, too.
Yeah, I think that, too. Sometimes if they pressure them to do certain things because, you know, this person matters more than a civilian or that kind of thing. And
so,
how they're...
The Baltimore thing with the cops not wanting to do their jobs real quick, what do you think there's a solution? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just off the top, if you think.
With them not wanting to do their jobs.
Right.
You're saying for people?
Yeah, they're not protecting the people.
No, but I'm saying for what we can do.
Right. No, what would you do?
What would, if you were the police?
No, if you were the people or if you were the captain of the police, what would you do? Your men are going out there and they're saying that you got your
union
president.
But the captain already have a standpoint of they're doing what they're doing and they're justified for it? He hasn't said anything.
I don't know.
Because
the
solution would just be him talking to them and telling them that they have to do their jobs. I mean, whether or not they do or not, and whether they're in the streets following that protocol mm-hmm. is up to them. But I mean, the people, I'm not sure what they can do besides.
And just let them do what they want.
Well, no, I would never think mm-hmm. that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's up to them on what they do, but the captain would have to take a stand and
speak to them. Well, what I would do is I would fire every last single one of them, and I would bring in the National Guard and get order. That's what I would do, and yeah. I would rebuild, and I try to rebuild. I know it would be a hard thing. It's drastic, but if you got sissies out there that don't want to do their job because they're corrupt, then you need to get rid of them and then rebuild. Start from the bottom up.
If he talks to them and they don't follow through with it, then you're saying fire all of them?
No, I'm saying fire all the ones that are not doing their jobs
right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
I'm not playing, you know? So anyway, I got something to say.
Yeah, you got to calm down.
I shouldn't take double up on the medication, right? Okay, we are never more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating.